Welcome to Hindsight on Radio National. Sharon Davis here with you. Our program today unravels an intriguing story set in Poland during the Second World War. Towards the end of 1939, as the Germans occupied Warsaw, the city zoo became a sanctuary for more than 200 Polish Jews who were hidden in the lions' cages by Jan and Antonina Zabinski, the keepers of the zoo. Most of those who were hidden between the walls of the zoo were ultimately smuggled out of the country to freedom using false identity papers. And there's a dark parallel story within this history. At the very same time that the Zabinskis were helping to save a race of peoples from extermination, Germany's top zoologist, Lutz Heck, had commandeered the Warsaw Zoo. He was trying to reintroduce, via rudimentary genetic engineering, an extinct form of oxen species known as the auroch. Here then is Subhumans and Superbeasts, Bisons and Jews in the Warsaw Zoo, a feature made for Polish radio and translated into English by producers David Marowitz and Małgorzata Zerwe.
When the night wraps Warsaw in its black coat, and the quiet sleeping city is only interrupted by an occasional car horn, on the right bank of the Vistula River, you can hear the secret sounds of wilderness and jungle. An orchestra of wolves, hyenas, jackals, and dingoes. The cry of an awakened lion creates terror in the neighboring monkey population. Startled wild birds screech terrifyingly over the water, while our lynx kittens sing a melancholy serenade in their cage. Their shrill meowing rises over all other night sounds in our zoo.
Bardzo się bałem huku.
I was 7 years old when war broke out in 1939. At first we were in the countryside, and then we went back to our zoo. On the zoo grounds stood anti-aircraft guns, Polish artillery. Some of our animals were killed by our own soldiers in case a tiger cage was bombed and the animals escaped into town. My father ordered these animals shot. The less dangerous ones were allowed to live.
W części zostały i...
The elephant Kasia died after being hit by grenade shrapnel. Her daughter, Tuzinka, remained unhurt. Many monkeys and antelopes were killed by bullets. Chimpanzees and exotic birds burned in their enclosures. One of our giraffes was killed by a grenade. The other managed to save itself. Hippos, bears, bisons, elks, and lynxes survived. Several seals escaped. Camels, llamas, and deer ran wild on the riverbank. Silver foxes and badgers disappeared without trace, while otters and beavers sat quietly in their ponds.
Dzień dobry. Dr. Jan Maciej Rembiszewski.
I'm Dr. Jan Rembiszewski, former director of the Warsaw Zoo. When I arrived here over 30 years ago and looked around, I asked myself, which of these animals remembers Dr. Zabiński?
Redakcja przyrodnicza nadaje audycję Dr. Żabiński przed mikrofonem.
The program Nature presents Dr. Żabiński on the air. Bohaterem dzisiejszej mojej opowieści, jako kolejny przedstawiciel dzikich krewniaków kota domowego, będzie ryś.
The hero of today's story is a relative of the domestic cat, namely the lynx. Even if you haven't heard of him, dear listener, just looking at a photo will convince you he comes from the cat family. But if we look more closely at his anatomical features, we can see that his long legs are not at all like those of a cat.
Wiemy przecież, że każdy kot jest raczej długi. O rysiu tego powiedzieć nie można.
Nazywam się Ryszard Żabiński i jestem synem Jana Żabińskiego i Antoniny
Żabińskiej. My name is Ryszard Żabiński and I'm the son of Jan and Antonina Żabiński. But I was always called Rysz instead of Ryszard and I'm still called Rysz. In Polish, Rysz means lynx.
Ciągle jestem Rysiem.
Nazywam się Teresa Żabińska.
My name is Teresa. And I am the daughter of Antonina and Jan.
Ryś jest rysiem.
At that time, my mother was taking care of two lynx kittens.
They
were small and helpless, since their mother had been shot in the forest by a poacher. So our mother had the task of bringing them up as lynxes. And at that time, she was herself pregnant. So that's how my brother's name came to be associated with the two lynx kittens. After all, an animal can be similar to a person and vice versa.
Od tych dwóch małych rysiaków.
With saddened hearts, we pondered over what to do about our refugees from the zoo cages and enclosures who had survived the bombing.
Ojciec był dyrektorem, szefem, mama była tak zwanym kierownikiem.
My father was the director of the Warsaw Zoo. And my mother was the so-called manager. She was tall, kind-hearted, blonde, with blue eyes. As soon as we sat down to dinner, she started to tell her stories.
The difficult moment of liquidating the remaining animals came irrevocably closer. In November 1939, a Wehrmacht soldier, who in civilian life had been a zookeeper in Berlin, turned up at our house and announced, "In the next few days, you will be receiving a visit from Lutz Heck."
Sende freies Berlin.
Herr Heck hatte das große Glück, dass im Zoologischen Garten Berlin geboren worden ist.
Heck had the good fortune to be brought up in the Berlin Zoo, of which he later became director.
Unter der Leitung von Professor Heck aber wuchs der Zoo allmählich in Jahrzehnten zu einem der größten und bedeutendsten Tierparks unseres Kontinents.
Under Heck's direction, the Berlin Zoo quickly grew into one of the largest and most important on the continent. Heck was especially kind to me. He sent me greetings and lovely postcards with animals and landscapes from his various expeditions. I learned later on that I reminded him of the first great love of his youth.
Sendefreies Berlin, 1955.
Herr Professor Heck, an vielen Reisen können wir heute noch teilnehmen.
Ja, ich habe über meine Reisen geschrieben und meine Tiere.
All zoo directors have a professional illness. We travel a lot. Look at other zoos to gather experience. We have to purchase animals and I myself had to capture animals.
Piotr Daszkiewicz, jestem biologiem.
My name is Piotr Daszkiewicz. I am a biologist and science historian. Heck and Żabiński knew each other from the International Zoo Directors Association. Lutz Heck had an official position in Hitler's regime, which today would probably be the Environment Ministry. When the occupation began in Warsaw, Heck arrived and sent animals from Żabiński's zoo to other countries.
Pewien żal mieli rodzice, że on przyjechał tutaj.
My parents, of course, regretted that he took the animals away.
Według Hecka wrócić.
Heck claimed they would all be returned later on.
Właśnie niby to był ten gest takiej dobrej woli.
In the beginning, it was not meant to look like the animals had been stolen, but rather as a goodwill gesture. But those animals were never returned.
Wywieziono żubry, wywieziono tą słoniczkę tuzinkę urodzoną.
They stole the bisons, the baby elephant Tuzinka, who was born in our zoo. Even the Przewalski horses were taken away.
Raport Straty Kulturalne Ministerstwa Spraw Wewnętrznych Rządu Emigracyjnego.
From the report, Cultural Losses,
From the Interior Ministry of the Polish Government in Exile, London, 1944. Three elephants, 40,000 Polish zlotys. Two hippos, 25,000. Two giraffes, 20,000. Three Chowalski horses, 60,000. Three bisons, 25,000.
Jesteśmy w tej chwili w willi wybudowanej przez Jana Żabińskiego i jego żonę.
We're standing in the villa which belonged to Jan Żabiński and his wife Antonina. In Mr. Żabiński's workroom there was a hidden door. It was the same color as the furniture, so it served as a secret entrance. Żabiński hid his refugees in the cellar.
To też są ogromne piwnice. Mnóstwo pomieszczeń.
Down here are many nooks and crannies. It's very low here. I can just about stand up straight.
Ja tak słyszałem, że jednocześnie przebywało.
About 20 people had to hide here, and it was amazing that the Germans didn't notice.
Nie zauważyli Niemcy, to było.
We've tried a few times without success to find the exact escape route. Looking at the building, it seems that people got out of the cellar in this direction. They would leave by this window and go through the pheasant enclosure outside. That's the building where we mostly keep the parrots today.
W tej chwili papugi głównie są.
More and more refugees sought protection in our house. As if it was no longer a nutshell in a stormy sea, but rather Captain Nemo's submarine, bringing everyone through the quiet depths to safe harbor. But the storm was becoming more and more dangerous.
Halo, halo? Otwórz nam na chwilkę zaplecze, dobrze? A tutaj trzymane swojego czasu przez Żabińskich kolorowe bażanty.
This is where the Żabińskis kept colorful pheasants.
Jest wyjście z ogrodu zoologicznego.
Just behind this building is the zoo exit, and possibly it was here that those hiding in the Żabiński villa slipped out.
I tam Ryszard ich dokarmiał, zanosił jedzenie.
It was my brother Rish who brought them their food.
Od tego czasu wszyscy, którzy tam potem się znajdowali, czy Żydzi, którzy tam się
including the Jews, were called the pheasants. And when it was time to go to them, Rish was told, go feed the pheasants.
Tutaj mieszkają papugi patagonki.
These are rock parakeets from Patagonia. They are very beautiful parrots, very talkative. They speak a lot to one another.
No, ryżowiec siwy. I tutaj już zaczynają się papugi rozmaite gatunki.
Birds which came to the sanctuary were kept in the back room of the bird enclosure.
Rocznie
today we have about 2,000 birds in our sanctuary.
People who sought sanctuary from the crematoriums and gas chambers believed they had found themselves a secure hiding place. Our house was literally open to everyone.
Ta villa mieściła się na pustym, ogromnym terenie.
There was a large 40-hectare area surrounding the villa. It was neither fenced in nor guarded, it just stood there, like a lighthouse. From the beginning, my parents involved Rishi in their activities. He never had the feeling something was being hidden from him.
Może jakieś instrukcje dostałem, ale
maybe I was taught some rules of behavior, but for everyone in the house, for our whole family, it went without saying that you had to keep quiet about things. Even those people hiding here knew they mustn't say anything. And there were always guests at the Żabińskis. Why should they happen to be Jews? It might be someone come to find out how to deal with the parrot he had at home. And this aspect of our house, my father used to his advantage.
Tutaj rzeczywiście wielu Niemców, hitlerowców przychodziło do ogrodu zoologicznego.
And there were many Germans, even Nazis, who came to the zoo for amusement in their free time. And maybe that's precisely why Jan Żabiński hid Jews here. Not only Jews, but anyone on the run from the Nazis.
Niemcy się nie zorientowali nigdy.
Zoologischer Garten, Berlin. Wir stellen Sie durch. Einen Augenblick bitte. Hold the line, please. Please hold the line. Kennen Sie schon den australischen Lachvogel?
Ich bin Bernhard Blaschkiewicz und bin der Direktor des Zoologischen Gartens Berlin und des
My name is Bernhard Blaschkiewicz and I'm the current director of the Berlin Zoo. I remember from my childhood those cages which today are open spaces. And this was the work of Lutz Heck.
Diese Anregung ging auf Lutz Heck zurück.
His greatest successes were the rocky outdoor areas for peacocks and seals as well as the lion enclosure from 1936.
Sendung Freies Berlin.
Kai Artinger, Art Historian specializing in the role of the Berlin Zoo under National Socialism.
Wenn man sich die Akten anguckt, dann fällt auf, dass also Lutz Heck ein sehr, sehr enges Verhältnis zu Göring gehabt hat.
From the archives you can see that Lutz Heck had a very close relationship to Göring.
Also so wurde zum Beispiel diese Freilandanlage für Löwen.
The open-air lion enclosure, for example, was built with Göring's support as a propaganda event shortly before the opening of the 1936 Olympic Games.
Ja, Heck war Parteimitglied, ja, ja. Na, ich glaube, die Hälfte der deutschen Zoodirektoren waren NSDAP, die andere Hälfte.
Yes, Heck was a member of the Nazi Party. Half the zoo directors at that time were, the other half not. It's true about his relation to Göring, who was, you might say, his employer. And he was also responsible for nature protection in the Third Reich.
Two chimpanzees, 10,000 zlotys. Two elands, 10,000. Two gnus, 5,000. Four more antelopes, 4,000. Four pumas, 4,000.
Lonia Tannenbaum, którą mój ojciec wyprowadził z getta.
There was Lonia Tannenbaum, whom my father saved from the ghetto. Moritz Frankiel, known to me as Paweł Zieliński. Magda Gross, known as Woodpecker because of her hair color. There was also the Königswein family hidden in our house.
Był taki moment, że trzeba było je dzieci.
There was a moment when the children, the families, had to be moved to another place. But they all looked so Jewish, they all had dark hair. My mother decided to somehow make them lighter by bleaching their hair with hydrogen peroxide. And then they all came out with red hair. Oh, look, squirrels! From that day on, the children were referred to as squirrels.
Zostały wiewiórkami nazwane te dzieciaki.
Trzeba było wypracować taki system alarmowy, że tak powiem.
We had to think up an alarm system. Everyone knew what to do if they heard someone playing the agreed signal on the piano. If it was sung or whistled, or also if it turned out to be a false alarm.
Albo śpiewany, albo gwizdany fragment operety.
The signal was the Journey to Crete aria from Offenbach's operetta La Belle Hélène.
The
little Königsweins disappeared immediately down into the cellar or into a hideout. Paweł hid in a wall cupboard standing between the hallway and bedroom, which had two sides to it.
Berlin, West 62, December 28, 1939. To our Führer and Chancellor Adolf Hitler, Berlin, West 8. We send our heartfelt and most faithful wishes for a happy 1940 to our dear Führer in the hope that German weapons will be victorious. At the same time, we enclose an honorary lifetime card giving you free entry to our zoo. With sincere admiration from the Board of Governors of the Berlin Zoological Gardens, Lutz Heck.
Zoologischer Garten, Berlin. Wir stellen Sie durch. Einen Augenblick bitte. Hold the line, please. Please hold the line. Waren Sie eigentlich schon mal mit den Affen, wie die rumspringen? Das ist enorm.
Is
gab zum Beispiel hier bei uns einen deutschen Zoo.
Under Heck, there was something called the Germanic Zoo. On the animal signs was a flag with the inscription Germany and a swastika. Heck exploited that. It allowed him to finance the first free-range enclosures for brown bears and wolves.
Dann natürlich neben diesem deutschen Zoo wurde dann dieses niederländische Bauernhaus errichtet.
Near the Germanic Zoo, a Dutch farmhouse was built, obviously an example of Nazi blood and soil ideology.
Zeigte, indem nämlich ein
a logo on the gable of this house attested to Hitler's concern for the German
wurde,
peasantry.
Also Hitlers Sorge für das deutsche Bauerntum ausdrückte.
Lutz Heck from the book Animals by Adventure. In 1941, the first English bombs fell on the Berlin Zoo. 6 500-pounders. The wooden Dutch farmhouse was hit, then the antelope house, where we suffered our first loss of animals. It was our baptism of fire, but the animals grew used to the noise of war in the air. The elephants were at first disturbed by the anti-aircraft firing, but gradually they took no notice of it and just went to sleep.
Two tapirs, 4,000 zlotys. One sloth, 4,000. Three seals, 5,000. Two ostriches, 4,000.
The second wave of heavy bombers came over Berlin. The first bomb fell on the zoo underground station. The second fell on the Hardenbergstrasse in front of the underground. The third landed on the great open-air enclosure in front of the elephant house. The whole Ufa Palace cinema was in flames from one end to the other, and the zoo was shut in by a wall of fire.
20 flamingos, 4,000. 5 parrots, 2,000. 2 alligators, 2,000. 5 tortoises, 10,000 zlotys.
My father's life work, in which I had joined him for 10 years and myself directed for 12 years, introducing many new open-air enclosures and landscape improvements, was destroyed. Yes, fate had dealt us zookeepers a nasty blow. It seemed incredible to me that a zoological garden full of innocent animals could become a target for aerial bombing.
My father was in the underground Polish Home Army, and certain materials were kept in our house which would later be used in sabotage actions. In a certain sense, the house was always standing on a landmine. We were always in danger, and my parents knew the risk they were taking. They always kept their cyanide capsules handy.
It was a warm May night in the zoo. Nightingales wildly sang their mating songs, enraptured by their own melodious voices. With its strong chords, Chopin's Etude in E minor broke the silence of the night, sending its stormy passages out of the open window. Suddenly there was a rustling in the hollyhocks, and somewhere nearby a screech owl hooted. Jan jumped up and asked me for the key to the pheasant house. Some young men from a sabotage commando had to be hidden immediately. Their last action was to set large petrol tanks on fire. "I'm hiding you in the pheasant house," he told them. "At daybreak, dead silence. No talking, no smoking. Be quiet as a mouse. That's an order. Stay near the house where we can see you. We'll bring you something to eat."
Y jakąś zupkę, powiedzmy kartoflankę albo barszczyk może, kluski.
They got potato soup, maybe sometimes beetroot soup or noodles.
Niedaleko była właściwie w ogródku.
The pheasant house wasn't far, so I could bring some food and pretend I was taking it with me while playing in the garden.
Die andere Geschichte ist die, dass der Direktor, also Lutz Heck,
Lutz Heck was involved in several Nazi institutions, for example, the SS Heritage Foundation run by Heinrich Himmler. Together with his brother, he took part in a project called Forests and Trees in the Aryan Germanic Spirit and Cultural History, in which he worked hard to foster Nazi ideology. His political development continued as director of the Environmental Office under Göring.
We have in Deutschland damals ein sehr fortschrittliches Tierschutzgesetz.
In Germany at that time, there was a very progressive environmental protection policy. It's funny, human rights were trampled underfoot, but nature legislation was ahead of its time.
In the night from the 18th to the 19th of April 1943, the Warsaw Ghetto was attacked. Blazing fire lit up the sky. The Germans were celebrating the Führer's birthday with a methodical and final elimination of the ghetto. From over the river came a rainstorm of burnt paper onto our veranda and the garden lawn.
Papierów i gazet.
A lot of paper and newspapers, which were no longer burning, but simply blown over the Vistula River by the wind down into the Zoo. The ghetto uprising was not so evident to us as was the Warsaw uprising in the entire city 1 year later.
In 1944, the Germans had stationed 188 pieces of heavy artillery in the Praga district, where we lived. Near the zoo, mortars and rocket launching pads were kept, which the locals referred to as cows or cupboards. Risch would stand for hours on the veranda, like a soldier on duty. He always had a telescope with him, now and again looking over the river as if he might see his father's silhouette on the opposite bank.
Niemcy wszędzie naokoło, więc oni zauważyli, że taki jakiś sobie...
There were German forces everywhere, and they noticed that a young kid was walking around up there, and they didn't know what he was doing. So they warned me, listen, carefully, if you come up here one more time, we'll shoot you. From then on, I didn't go out there anymore.
Sometime after the 12th of August, the gunfire and the attacks intensified. The Stuka dive bombers strafed the population with aircraft weapons or dropped bombs on the old town.
A German patrol turned up and declared that gunfire had come from our house, that there were partisans hidden here preparing the resistance. Everyone was taken outside. They weren't stood up against the wall, but they had to keep their hands up, and they had to stand there like that. In the midst of this, a rooster was running wild, and a German soldier ordered my brother to catch it.
Ale niestety mi to nie wychodziło, bo jednak kogut nie daje się tak od razu złapać.
It's not so easy to catch a rooster.
Kogut miał na imię Kuba.
The rooster's name was Kuba.
I był tak zwanym też domownikiem.
He too was one of our house guests.
Jeden z tych Niemców stwierdził, że coś to za długo jest i poszedł za mną.
One of the Germans thought I was taking too long.
No, matka nie widziała tego, bo to wszystko działo się za domem.
My mother couldn't see what was going on as it was behind the house.
I odbyły się dwa strzały.
A German soldier went back to where Risch and the rooster were and fired two shots. Afterwards, my mother always talked about it. She was holding me, her baby, with one arm and the other she had to hold over her head. And when she heard the shots, she passed out.
Była przerażona, że to on mnie zastrzelił, a nie tego koguta.
She thought that I'd been shot and not the rooster.
Risch came back holding the dead Kuba by its wing. Blood was pouring from the rooster's shattered head. We played a great joke on you, the SS men laughed in chorus.
Mama potem zrobiła awanturę Niemcowi, że niech jej nie zagadza.
Later, my mother made a scene in front of one of the Germans. He shouldn't be annoying her about the resistance or anything else because she was breastfeeding. She suddenly changed from a surrounded, defenseless animal into an outraged lioness.
Before my time, the lions were kept in small cages. But the cages were lovely, with a cast iron crown on the outside. In those days, the zoo was a very poetic place, full of romantic things.
Im Mittelpunkt ihres Interesses stand jedoch die Person Lutz Heck.
Wurde dann in der Ukraine mit der Leitung von Askania Nova.
The SS put Heck in charge of Askania Nova, a nature reserve in the Ukraine, which was then occupied by the Germans.
Geflüchtet ist auf dem Fahrrad nach Leipzig.
At the end of the war, he escaped to Leipzig on a bicycle. Then made his way west, and after that one loses all trace of him. But one can be sure that he became persona non grata for the Allies because of his activities and his close ties to the Nazis.
As Nazi minister, Heck took part in the ethnic cleansing program for Eastern Europe. In other words, genocide. He stole animals from zoos all over Europe. After the war, he was sought as a war criminal, not because of stealing animals, but because of the executions in the Soviet sector occupied by the German Wehrmacht. The Germans didn't call it ethnic cleansing, but rather landscape cleansing. And in the framework of this landscape cleansing, children from the Action Zamość were sentenced to death. The important thing is, Heck was there, and he supervised it. Why else